You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Someone say, God is good. Someone else say, all the time. I believe that with all my heart, do you? That's the message of our church. God is good. All the time, from the start to the end, in between, he's good to you. Amen. He's not just good, he's specifically good to you. Praise God. Isn't that good? Who's glad they're in church today? I want to say welcome to everybody new here. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. I love this church. I love you. Glad that you're here. When the service finishes, please run out those double doors down the back. Turn immediately to your right. I've got a team of people waiting to bless you with one of these welcome boxes. So go do that. That'd be fantastic. I'm going to give this one to Sydney because she's awesome. Don't hurt yourself. There we go. I can't throw that far, and even if I could, it'd knock someone out. So it's a heavy box. That means it's got good stuff in it, right? It's like in Jurassic Park. Is it heavy? And it's expensive. Put it down. Right? So, anyway, welcome to church. Hey, high five your neighbor. Say welcome to church. Take your seats. So we started a new sermon series called OT Post, or Old Testament Post. It's like news reports of the Old Testament. Every single week we're going to spend time looking at a classic Old Testament story and discovering just really powerful truth and power of God in those stories that we can apply to our lives today, right? And that's been really, really great. And last week we launched that, the first one. I want to encourage you to get the podcast, not because I love the sound of my own voice or anything like that, but you need to listen to the first week's podcast. If you missed it, it sets up the whole sermon series and explains how, as a New Testament believer, that we can read the Old Testament through the lens of the cross and better understand the message of God to each and every one of us today, righto? And what I'm talking about just briefly with that is that as you read the Old Testament through the lens of the cross, what you realize is that all the sin is paid for, right? And so in the Old Testament, when you see someone being punished for something they did wrong, you now need to picture Jesus jumping in front and saying, "It was me! It was me!" And so every bad thing that happens, or any time there's punishment dished out on anyone, picture Jesus Christ as the last sacrifice paying the price for that. We also talked about how sacrifice was introduced because of God's compassion, not because of his anger, although his anger was paid for with the sacrifice, but his compassion is what moved him to do it that way. And I really just can't encourage you enough to please get the podcast, listen to it this week, and set up this whole sermon series for you. Righto, you gonna do it? Awesome, fantastic. So who wants to receive a fresh touch and a fresh word from God today? Yeah? Good, most of us. That's fantastic. I'm going to pray for you then, because I believe that every moment that we get together is a powerful opportunity for God to minister to each and every one of us. There's something about when we gather together, right? There's something special about worshiping him together. So would you reach out your hands in faith if you want to receive something from God, because I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are good, only good, and always good, and you'll always be good. God, today we come here today because we wanted to lift up your name and worship you, but we also want to have an encounter with you that blesses us and lifts us up and touches our lives. And so God, I pray for every single person here that whether it be through the sermon, the worship, the offering word, the kingdom expansion update, God, I thank you that every part of this service has been put together by you to bless each and every person in this room. God, we open up our hearts right now. I open up my heart as well, that we would all receive inspiration, encouragement, Lord God, and power from this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So also, if you're new here today, I need to let you know that I like people yelling at me when I preach, all right? And so do that. That will help me. It's not because I'm egotistical. It's because I got yelled at a lot growing up, and I just do a better job when people are yelling at me. So please just yell at me when I'm preaching. Be like, "Amen, that's good." But if it's not, just be quiet. all right? And so hey, 20 years ago was the moment that I felt God gave me a specific word about my life. I was standing on the balcony in a church called Influencers Church in Adelaide of South Australia, and I was at a conference called Planet Shakers, and we were singing a song, Send Me, I Will Go. Send me, I will go to this city, to this nation, and to the nations of the world. And I remember as I was singing that God just spoke into my heart and said, I'm going to send you out of Australia. and it blew my mind. It was the first time in all of my life that I had any inkling that I was going to leave Australia at all. Like everyone in Australia, they travel. All my mates travel. Everyone wants to travel. I didn't want to travel because I'm like, we're already in the greatest place in the world. Why would you want to go anywhere else, right? And so I wasn't interested, but at that exact moment, God spoke to me about his plans for my life in the world, not just in Australia. That was the moment that I discovered that God did not have some vague calling on my life to be a pastor and evangelist, but that he had a specific plan. And as I stood on that balcony, I began to cry happy tears because it was the first time that God spoke to me about my calling and not other people hearing from God and sharing it with me about my calling. Now, I'd heard from God before and I've been encouraged and inspired by God before, but regards my calling, every time that God spoke to me about being a pastor and an evangelist and all these things, he would speak to other people and they would tell me. But this was the first time that he told me, and that's the first time that I knew that God had a specific plan, an exceptional plan for my life. Now, for many of you, that moment's going to come today. Awesome, right? For many of you, that moment came last week. For other people, it came last year, and a lot of you, it'll come sometime this year or next year. But one thing I know for sure is that you will discover, the longer you're at this church, you will discover that God has plans for your life, and they're not vague ideas. Well, maybe they could go over there. No, no, no. He has a where and a when and a how and a what you'll need to do it in Jesus' name. Every one of you has divine purpose. Everyone. Some of you are called to lead. Some of you are called to serve. Some of you are called to give. Now, we're all called to give, and we're all called to serve, and we're all called to lead in different areas of our lives. But some of us are called to be exceptional in one of those areas, like exceptional leadership or exceptional ability to serve or a way to give way over and above your tithes. Or some of you are called to pray exceptional faith-filled prayers, and some are called to be healers, and some are called to pray prayers of intercession. But you're all gifted by God. Every single one of you is called and gifted by God. Everyone, come on, look at your neighbor and say, yeah, that's you. Look at your other neighbor and say, me too. Come on, every single one of you is called by God. Some of you are called to join the eWest or Eternity West launch team. Some of you are called by God to do that. See, we're going to have an anointing service next Sunday at 1 o'clock after the 10:45 service. We're going to provide lunch, and we're going to have an anointing service. We're going to pray for and anoint you to be a part of that team if you feel called by God. Now, we don't just need leaders out there, and we don't just need people serving out there. We also need people out there. Be super awkward just to be there being like, hey, everybody, just Sean's wife is there. He's like, well, what happened up here? You know, like, you know, we need people just attending. Attending is serving. Because you can be there to love, embrace, accept, and pray for everyone else who finds themselves at Eternity West. And we need you there because we need to make sure that we don't have two different cultures. We will have an eternity culture, and what God is doing here is going to be done out there. Amen. And so we need you to pray and seek God. Be a part of that out there. Now I'm going to get to the sermon. Should I do that? Spend all that time. That's the longest intro you've ever heard, right? Yeah, good. I didn't even have a sermon. Right. We're going to Genesis chapter 1. It's actually Genesis chapter 11. And I'm just realizing now that in the third message of this weekend, I've been saying Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 9 for the entire weekend. It's Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. You ready? We're going to talk about the Tower of Babel, or Babel, as some people incorrectly say. My wife says Babel. Anyway, now the whole world, you ready? Awkward silence over. Now the whole world had one language and one common speech. As the people moved eastward, they found a plain near Shinar and they settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing that they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the world and they were babbling everywhere. I added that bit. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. Now, I used to think that this story was the Bible's warning against pride. My whole life, I had thought that this story is all about pride and how God humbles the proud and how you'll be punished or cursed or whatever else if you have too much pride. Did anyone else grow up thinking that? That's what I've seen my whole life. I've heard so many sermons and so many people, myself included, using the Tower of Babel as an example of why we shouldn't have pride. And hey, guess what? Let's not be prideful. I don't think we should have pride. But I don't think that that's the main point of this story, if it's a point at all in the story. Now, pride is certainly a problem that you don't want to have in your life, right? Like, I don't want that. I don't want pride in my relationships. But there are better, more relevant stories and verses in the scriptures to illustrate that pride is a hindrance to God's best for your life. Perhaps Proverbs 11:2 that says, where pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Where pride comes, there comes disgrace. Hey, when people are prideful, then there is going to come a fall, right? But when people are humble, wisdom comes along. Why does humility invite wisdom? It's because it's like this. Nathan tells me a story about something to do with my finances, and at the end of it, I'm like, yeah, awesome, and miss out on the lesson. Or I say, what? I have no understanding at all of what you just said. That means nothing to me. And then in the humility, he's able to share with me a lesson that might bless my life forever. But pride comes before a fall. But I don't think that that was the big problem going on here. But the answer to what the problem really was is found in why they built the tower and what God did in response. So let's check that out. You ready? They said, so you're ready, Nath? Cool. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. And God said, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not be able to understand each other. So then the Lord scattered them from there all over the face of the earth. So what was their reason for the tower? Now, I don't think it was pride. It was, yes, to make a name for themselves, but that would mean that everyone who has their name on their business is prideful. They wanted to make a name for themselves, not so they could get glory or pride or accolades. Hey, check out what they did. They're amazing. They're better than God. No, they didn't say anything like that. They said, come, let's make a tower. Otherwise, we are going to be scattered over the face of the earth. And what does God do? Scatters them over the face of the earth. See that? That's what's happening here. They didn't want to be scattered, so they built a tower in a city that would protect them, a safe place for them to be together, to stay together. The last thing they wanted to do was to be scattered. But earlier, God actually commanded them to scatter. When God created mankind in Genesis chapter 1, he gave us the earth. He gave us the earth as a gift, and he said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. God wanted people over the whole earth stewarding this gift, looking after this gift and worshiping him all over the planet. Then there was Noah and the flood, and all of mankind is destroyed and whatever else. And immediately after the flood, just two chapters before the Tower of Babel, God says it again in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Then God blessed Noah, then God blessed his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. Be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. God said, fill the earth. They didn't want to fill the earth. The last thing that they wanted to do was the very thing that God had commanded them to do. So they built a tower and hid in it. They wanted to stay in their cities. They wanted to stay in their towers, safe from the world around them. God wanted to bless them with the animals of the whole earth. God wanted to bless them with the fruit of the trees of the whole earth. God wanted to bless them with the fruit of the vine of the whole earth, but they just wanted to stay right here together. They wanted to stay comfortable in Babel together. And if we don't watch ourselves, we can get too comfortable in Babel too. If we're not careful, we can become just like them. So let's not forget what God has called us to do. We are, what are we? We are a grace space. That's what our church is. That's what God's called us to be. That's what God's commanded us to do, to build a grace space, a soul-winning, shame-breaking, life-changing church that inspires people how to have a wonderful friendship with God. Amen. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We're helping people discover their God-given purpose, helping them become all that God designed them to be. We're rejoicing with people. We're cheering people on as God blesses them and blesses their lives with meaning, joy, strength, purpose, and victory in Jesus' name. Even when they're not performing as well as we wish that they were, we are cheering them on, amen. Because God has anointed our church with a shame-breaking anointing. We are a place where anyone can come and find hope. And if they can't make it all the way here, they can log in online and find hope in Jesus' mighty name. But after a while, sometimes churches stop scattering. Sometimes they stop being what God called them to be. Sometimes they stop doing what God commissioned them to do at the start. They stop teaching about God's goodness, and they stop being a blessing to their communities, and they stop preaching this gospel of grace, this good news of grace. Yeah, I call it the gospel of grace, right? Why? Because that's what the Bible calls itself. It says this gospel of grace. Somehow churches transform that into this gospel of rules, this gospel of law, this gospel of you're a moron, this gospel of you're an idiot, this gospel of stay away from us or whatever else. But it makes no sense, because gospel means good news. That's the good news of you're a moron, good news of stay away from us, good news of law and restriction. No, it's a gospel of grace. That's what God called it. This gospel of grace. We ain't ever going to stop preaching the gospel of grace. And sometimes they stop preaching the gospel of grace. They forget who God called them to be. So you have forgotten who you are. I don't know why I said that. And they stop welcoming new people. And they stop winning the lost. Hey, if we go a month without people getting saved here, kick me out. Serious. Get rid of me. Find someone who loves people. Find someone who's passionate about people. I don't want to be presiding over something that doesn't do what God called us to do. Come on. We aren't ever going to be some club for the sanctified. We're the place where the sanctified are excited about the sanctification of the unsanctified in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of y'all like big word. I know, it's the biggest word I know. Well, the second biggest. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, that's one of them. And sanctification is the next biggest word I know, right? What it means is sanctification is the process of becoming more like Jesus. All right? And it's a process. There's a thing called now and not yet. It means right now God says you are sanctified and righteous, but on earth we know we're not really yet as good as we could be, right? But God says we are immediately sanctified. He sees us as perfect. And then we go on a journey becoming all that God has called us to be. But here's the thing. This side of the cross, you ain't ever gonna be done. You ain't ever gonna be perfect. I fight him a little bit. He's like, come on. And I'm like, nah, this is fun. You know, like the only reason I'm not there yet is because I fight him a little bit, and I probably will for the rest of my life. Thank God for the cross. That's why God says, Jesse, I died on the cross to punish your sins. So you are righteous. You are sanctified. You are good. But sometimes churches get a little bit obsessed with people who aren't quite as sanctified as them yet. But God says they already are. What am I saying? You're only righteous because God said so. Not by any act or inaction of your own. You are worthy and you are righteous because God said, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're righteous. You're righteous because God said so. We are sanctified or made more like God, more like Christ, by God's power in God's presence, not by any work of our own, so that we cannot boast. Scripture says that we are made righteous by God so that we cannot boast and say, check me out. I'm awesome. No, his work in my life, that's awesome. Amen. So let's not get so self-righteous that we let go of the God righteous. Let's not be so self-righteous that we forget who actually made us righteous and begin separating ourselves from people that we say, well, they don't seem quite so righteous. Get out of Babel. Come on. Get out of Babel. Let's get a little bit uncomfortable so that they can come in and feel comfortable in his church, amen. Let's stay passionate about being the greatest soul-winning church that the Midwest has ever seen. The world is already scattered, right? It's covered, right? But we still are called to scatter. And we scatter by not locking up our faith in the four walls of our homes. Oh, I'm a believer at home. I'm a believer at home. I'm a believer at church. And I'm a believer in the car. And I'm at home and I'm a Christian and whatever else. But then the 10 meters that I have to walk from my front door to my car, I'm not there because people can see and hear me. Then I get in the car and now I'm listening to Joel Osteen, or I'm listening to Stephen Furtick, or I'm listening to Brian Houston, or I'm listening to that Aussie guy from Des Moines or whatever else. And I'm a Christian then, and I'm listening to my worship music. But when I get to work, I get out of the car and I close the door and I lock my faith up in that car and I lock my faith up in that church. That's not scattering. That's not doing what we're called to do. Get busy talking about Jesus in the marketplace. Talk about Jesus at your job. Talk about Jesus at your school. Talk about Jesus at your baseball game. Get busy scattering, sowing seeds, and bringing in the harvest back to the church where we can celebrate and worship God together. Amen. When you stop being a witness, you start moving into the tower. When you start locking up your faith, you're taking your furniture and you're putting it in the tower. I'm a move in now. I've got my fridge in there. I've got my couch in there. Come on, get your furniture out of the tower. The Tower of Babel is where you're happy with who you have and no one else is welcome. You don't have to deal with the mess of a new Christian. Oh, they're a little bit annoying. They've got some dirt on them. I don't want to get dirty. Hey, who cares? Get dirty. Come on, get dirty for the gospel, amen. Anyway, remember the story I started with. I spoke about God calling me into ministry. If you fast forward 10 years after that moment, I was fed up and frustrated with ministry. I hated it. Wanted nothing to do with it. Lauren and I had been in a rural community for a couple of years, and I was the youth pastor, and the pastor of the church, he was a good guy. But before Lauren and I had ever moved there, he and the board, before we even got there, he and the board started listening to a bunch of angry people from the church, a bunch of disgruntled church members, and about how the youth should be run, and how the church should be run, and how there should be no fun at youth, because kids hate fun. No, just they did. And to appease them, they created what was called a Youth Advisory Committee, right? Or YAC, as I call it, YAC. YAC, where we go to yak about crap, you know? And I added that. I never said that to them, right? Just to my wife and to God. Can we all agree that committees are where every good thing goes to die? Yeah. We're going to paint a church. Let's get 100 people and ask their opinions and offend 99 of them. No. I'm asking an interior designer, what color should we do that? And they're like, that color. And I'm like, do it. Done. Right? Like, come on. Committees are where things go to die. But anyway, the YAC, these people hated Lauren and I, and they were horrible to us, and they opposed everything that we wanted to do. And we had these bi-weekly or monthly YAC meetings. And one time I couldn't make it because grandma was dying, and I got a phone call from my dad and a phone call from my auntie Gail. And they're like, hey, Jesse, you better come to TAT because grandma's not going to make it through the night. You should come and say your goodbyes. TAT was about a 25, 30-minute drive, not far at all. And I'm like, all right, I better go, but we got a YAC meeting tonight. And, you know, I really want to be at the YAC meeting, but grandma... So I try to ring the boss of the YAC, you know, and he didn't answer his phone. So I rang all the other YAC-ers, and I'm like, hey, can't come, grandma's dying, yada, 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 love you. Just kidding, I don't. And no, I didn't say any of that. I'm only adding all this stuff. I had a better attitude then, I think. But so anyway, I'm like, all right, peace out. And then I go to see my grandma, and then later on my way home from my grandma, I get a phone call from boss man of the YAC, and he's like, you canceled the YAC. And I'm like, yeah, I left you a message and I rang everyone. I told him that grandma was dying. And he's like, well, you don't have the authority to cancel the YAC. And I'm like, okay. But grandma was dying and I got reamed and we got destroyed because we canceled the YAC. And I got to the point where I was fed up. I was sick of it. I was sick of the actual board, and I was sick of the pastor telling me we're going to get rid of the YAC. I was sick of the pastor saying, you know, all his vision, all these ideas he had, but giving up every time the board disagreed with him. I got sick of it. And long story short, I was like, God, where's your purpose in this trash? God, what are you doing? Where's everything you promised me? Where are you in this garbage? So I quit. I didn't just quit the job. I quit ministry. I'm like, I'm done. I started training to join the police force in Darwin, Northern Territory of Australia. I was not going to be a good cop. I was going to be an angry, angry cop. I'm like, I know we ain't supposed to beat people, but I'm going to beat people. I'm going to pull people over because they break lights are working fine, but I'm going to smash it with my baton. And I'm going to ruin other people's lives. I would have made a terrible police officer. Not like these Clive cops we have here, right? I was going to be a bad guy. And I was ready to go. And I passed the exams. I was ready to move to the outback, which is nothing like the steakhouse, and be a cop. The only thing Australian about the outback steakhouse is the word outback. Can I just point that out? But it is good food, and I love it. So I'm mad, I'm angry as a cut snake. And then Pastor Warren, my old mentor, he rings me up on the phone one day, and he pastors what was then one of the largest churches in regional Australia. It was a big church, and he was a good friend of mine, and that's where I was. I was like one of the, you know, junior guys, and before I went out here, before he sent me out to this hellhole in Shepparton, and then, oops, not allowed to use that word, and then... And he asked if he could meet with me, and I said to my wife, I'm like, baby, I don't want to go. He's just going to offer me a job that I don't want, but it's Warren, so I'll go. And he offered me the dream youth pastor job, youth and young adults pastor at a large church. And I said, no, I'm joining the police force. He said, will you at least pray about it? I said, no, I'm done listening to other people, and God, I'm done. So no, I already had a plan, and this bloke was messing with my plan. I told my wife, and she's like, well, I prayed about it, and God said that you should take the job. And I'm like, baby, that was the devil. How about you worship the one true God with me? A couple of months later, Warren turns up. He rings up. He goes, Jesse, Christine and I want to come and have dinner with you and Lauren at your house 2 hours away from where he lives. And I said, fine. When we meet, he pulls out the God said card. You know, God told me, you're the guy. Now I've got Lauren Christine and Warren all saying that God said, and I'm saying, H-E, double hockey sticks, no! Think about it, because you're not allowed to say the word hell in a sermon, so I won't, and I didn't. Or did I? I don't know. I'm confused. I didn't want the job. I didn't want to be in ministry. I was comfortable in Babel. I had a plan. God asked me to do something that I didn't want to do. Much like he asked the folks at Babel to spread across the globe, and they're like, no. And I said, no, I'm not going to Wodonga. See, the thing that God wanted me to do, it was going to be good for me. It was going to bless me. Just like spreading over the world was going to bless the people at Babel. He's not like, go across the world so you can die all apart. No, he's like, there's other animals for you to discover. There's other fruit for you to discover. There's other vegetables. There's other things that I want to show you, great things, good things that are going to bless your life. But I kept saying no, 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 because I was hurt and I was broken and I was tired. And the next day, after Warren and Christine left, I got my 13th speeding fine. Now that doesn't surprise many of you because you've seen me on the interstate, right? It definitely doesn't surprise our friends in blue out in the lobby. They've seen me too. It's actually been my goal. I'm about double that now. It's my goal to get to 50 before I die, right? Because I love cops. I just want to bless them, you know, like here's some more money, you know, get some better radars and stuff, you know, like, yeah, that's my motivation. It's not sin. Come on, all right? You see, the problem is in Australia, if you want to join the police force, you can have a maximum of 12 fines prior to joining. You can get more afterwards, but only 12 beforehand. And after saying no to what God wants me to do, I got my 13th speeding fine. See, I think God's in heaven watching me miss out on the blessing. It didn't hurt me, but he's like, hey, copper, park your car there. See, this is how God disciplines his children. He doesn't hurt us. He doesn't beat us. He doesn't destroy us. A gentle nudge. Go this way. It'll be good for you. See, I still had a choice. God was in heaven saying to the angels, man, he ain't ever going to nudge. He ain't ever going to move unless I nudge him. Let's go confuse his plans. Just like he did with those in the Tower of Babel. He didn't hurt them. He didn't punish them. He didn't whip them. He said, this is going to bless you as much as it blesses me. You just can't see it yet. Because church, when God closes a door, he always opens another door. God never says, there's a door of things that are going to bless them. There's a door that goes straight to hell. I'm going to close this one and send them that way. No, no. It may even be a good thing in that door. But if God closes it, there's something incredible through the door that he opens every single time. He's not up here trying to mess your life up. He's up here trying to help you live the best life that he designed for you. Amen. And that's what I'm telling you. This story about the Tower of Babel, it doesn't mention pride. It doesn't mention punishment. It just shows people that weren't listening to God and then God blessing them anyway. And oh, boy, am I glad that I said yes to God, because the dream was only 3 years away. Within months of moving to Wodonga, I met my friend Heath, who a year later invited me to preach here in Iowa. And then 2 years later, we moved here, me, Lauren, and two kids. 7 years later, I got five kids, something in the water, and God is doing a new, amazing, inspiring thing here on the other side of the world, just like he promised me 20 years ago. I said yes. Then he helped me keep my promise. Even if what God's doing here was half as good as what he's doing, it'd be better than I would have ever imagined. He ain't even done. Like, all we have is a foundation. And then he's adding layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. See, in the middle, I didn't want to do what he told me to do. But I would not trade this for anything in the world. What is your Babel? Come on, what is your Babel? It's not just about ministry. Is it the job you're too comfortable at and unwilling to move to where God's called you to move in that business or in another business in the community or whatever else? Is it a step of faith that you've been unwilling to take? Is it a business that God's calling you to start but you've been too afraid to start it? See, Babel is how we avoid what God is telling us to do. Babel is how we try and create a safe place where we can stay comfortable and just do what we're already doing and not be agitated by change and by faith and all this stuff. Babel is how we avoid doing what God calls us to do. For you, is it a relationship that you're supposed to fix? Is it a child that you're supposed to reach out to? A gift you're supposed to give somebody? Hey, God doesn't say go do this, it's going to ruin you. Give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, pouring into your lap. If God's telling you to bless someone, it's going to bless you more. Say yes, God. Is it an offering you're supposed to make at church? It'll bless you. Maybe someone's supposed to write a check to cover the whole renovation, $200,000 out at Eternity West. We will receive it. Just drop that out there. Is it a friend you're supposed to tell about Jesus that you've been too afraid of what they think of you? Has it been talking to you about getting married, not just living together? Hey, we're not judging. We're not going to come to you and say, get married. But if God had, man, he's just trying to bless you. What is your Babel? If you stay in Babel, God's always good plans are thwarted and your blessing is delayed. Get out of Babel. Get uncomfortable. Amen. It's time to say, yes, God, I will do what you called me to do. Church, would you stand up and give him a shout of praise if you received that word today? Come on. Come on, praise him like he loves you. Praise him like he saved you. Come on, hallelujah. In a couple of minutes, we're going to pray for people down here. If you need prayer, if God was speaking to you about a Babel in your life, come down and get prayer. Come down. The good thing for me is I told people what God had spoken to me about, and God used those people to hold me also to what I promised God that I would do. Come down and tell one of our team members. Ask them to pray for you. If you're in the middle and it feels like crap like it did for me, come down and tell someone. If your faith is weak, come down and tell someone. Our team will pray for you, and they have enough faith to lend you their faith and still have enough left over to pray for someone else. So come on down the front and get prayer, all right? You know what your Babel is. God is already speaking to you. Don't let him speak to you again and walk out the same still, all right? Don't get a speeding fine. Just say yes now, all right? Just say yes now. But there's also another group of people in here that I want to pray for. This is people who don't know Jesus or people who have walked away from him. And today you've discovered something really cool, and that is that God is good, that he's not punishing you, that he's not angry at you. See, all the anger, all the punishment has been taken care of on the cross. All right? He's not mad at you. He doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to just come in and spank you for being naughty and all that. He just wants to love you and accept you and welcome you into his family. And he's chosen to use us today to invite you in. All right? Before time began, when God said, let us make mankind in our image, he thought of you. And he thought of today as the opportunity for you to become all that he designed you to be. Now, some of you might look at the church and look at God with preconceived ideas like I used to with the Tower of Babel, you know, thinking it's about one thing because someone said something. And you might look at the church and think that we just want to fix you and we want to change you and we want to stop you from doing this and stop you from smoking that and stop you from saying this. And you look at God and you're like, oh, I can't go to church because I can't give my life to Jesus because I'm not good enough and I will never be able to be good enough and all this other stuff. And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's a preconceived idea. It's trash. He loves you. You're welcome in our church just as you are right now, even if you never change. You're welcome in his family, even if it takes 50 years to become all that God's designed you to be. I'm not interested in changing you. I'm not trying to fix you to become whatever I think you should be. I want you to become what he says you should be. And so if you give him your life today, he will bless your life. He will. He'll take away your shame from the things you've done wrong and the things that other people did to you. That shame's going away. He'll take away your sin. It's paid for on the cross. And you'll receive forgiveness and you'll receive a new life. And if there is something in your life that's destructive to you, hurtful to others or offensive to God, he will speak to you one day when your heart is ready to receive that. And then he'll give you the strength and the power to win that victory. But all I want to do is introduce you to Jesus right now. So we're going to say a prayer together. Every single person in the room will pray so that you're not alone. And we're going to say this prayer together because Scripture says to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. So we're going to do that together right now. And I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus or you've walked away from Him, today's the day that you are going to invite hope, power, blessing, forgiveness back into your life. So everyone in the room, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and as my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah.